All right, everyone, welcome back into another fantasy golf video. Going to be breaking down the Zurich Classic here for you guys, giving you guys the best teams that you should be targeting, the best values, and giving you guys a first look build. But first, I do want to get into a quick recap from last week. Last week was a little bit strange in terms of the ownerships. Lucas Glover was chalked. That did make sense. But all the other value plays were somewhat lower owned than I was thinking they would be. But that's mostly because Scottie Scheffler's ownership throughout the week, it really started to dip as the week progressed, which to me was shocking. Like, we know what to do in no-cut events. Scottie Scheffler probably should have been 15K, which I mentioned during the write-up, given the no-cut event nature, because it was super easy to fit him into builds last week to make an optimal build. Whether you use him with Xander or Aubert or even Cameron Young, you still had a profitable build because we can just target these lower exposure plays, these lower price value plays that are going to outproduce their price tag, which thankfully they all did. So that was, it made for a pretty sweat-free week. And I'm just, it's like everyone knows that, but at the same time, you get lost in the shuffle. It's kind of fun to go with some of those, maybe, you know, Wyndham Clark was pretty priced up. Maybe Tagalu was on a little bit. Like, it's fun to kind of mess around with those type plays, but to have just a profitable week and have it be sweat-free, we just know no-cut events, studs and duds. Now, this week, I will say, for the Zero Classic, it's going to be much more difficult. And it is difficult because this is a team event. Okay, so it's going to be best ball and alternate shot for two rounds each. So best ball first in the first round and then third round, and then alternate shot for the second and fourth round. But there is still a cut. And so the cut is going to be teams that are the low 33 teams and ties. So somewhat similar to that of a normal PGA Tour event. But for whatever reason, it's super difficult to get 6 for 6 across the cut line this week, typically speaking. I think it's like an average of 3% of lineups have that. So with that, you can have a pretty big edge if you do get 6 for 6 across the cut line. I know 2 out of 3 years, this has been one of the bigger edge weeks thus far. And it is kind of funny. And I'll show you guys the cheat sheet here. And I'll get into that in a second here. But it's kind of funny. Like, this can be one of the bigger edge weeks, kind of like the Corrales, how it's a pretty big edge week, but people just ignore it for whatever reason. I don't really get that. I get excited for these events because they're the bigger edge weeks because, I don't know, I think people are just lazy and they don't want to put the time into it. And so what I mean by that is, like, what I had to do here is I had to do some slight little differences to the 9-to-5 model here, which was I'm pairing the teams up together. So, like, you sort by model rank. I guess we don't really have to because the salaries pretty much match up with that. But those two teams are going to be paired together. Okay. And you guys will see when you go to the 9-to-5 lineup builder, the secondary teammate is not going to have fantasy points projection because you can't pair those two up together when you are making your builds. So I do think that that is important to call out. That being said, we are going to see that we do have some good course history for some of these players like Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele. So with that, let's go ahead and get into the course history. So because this is going to be the team event, we are going to be focusing on really just the last 3 years where it has been this team event. We're going to see Davis Riley has actually played pretty darn well here, a first and a seventh. Then you have the team Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele playing extremely well. They're going to be very difficult not to get to this week. You have Taylor Moore, who's played really well here, a fourth and a seventh. You have Billy Horschel, 11th, third, and fourth. Aaron Rye, 13th and 7th. You got Nick Hardy, who won last year. Sean O'Hare, yeah, he's been someone that I've been on a little bit here and there in this event. 7th place finished last year. I remember that. That was pretty awesome. Matthew Naismith, 4th and 7th. So we do have some names that are popping up in there that have played decently well here. But it is very much a hit or miss type of event because you do need to count on your partner. If your partner has a bad day, you are not going to be doing well. And so what I'm focusing on for the stat fit and why we've been able to do decent in regards to this event is I just typically look at golf stats that are going to just target golfers that are playing good golf. So we're looking at effective scoring, which is the 9-to-5 stat that takes in strokes gained total, strokes gained tee to green, scoring before the cut, strokes gained differential, and just like made cuts. Basically, which golfers are going to be good cut maker targets for us. But we also are going to be looking at ball striking, total driving. That's going to be key. But just golfers that are going to be hitting greens, hitting fairways, setting their partners up for success. Now, yes, you could get away with targeting some golfers that are going to be strong off the tee, long off the tee, and stuff like that. But for the most part, those are going to be the players that are popping up anyway. So I just want to be targeting golfers that are going to be hitting good golf shots. Really reduce the risk because, again, we do want to be getting 6 for 6 across the cut line because that could end up being pretty darn huge. And so with that, let's go ahead and take a peek at recent form. Now, again, it's a little bit nuanced here because what we would want to look at is team recent form. But I want to keep the StatFit recent form specialist data, course history as separate data points, and then just look at made cut percent, fantasy score, and model rank. Those are all for the group. Just because I do think that this is still a good practice to go through. And so we do see Xander in the best recent form. No shock there. Just insanely good cut maker. Then you got Tagala. He's going to be someone I do think we're going to be looking at again. Rory continues to be, I would say, still overpriced. When are we going to get a price tag on Rory that makes him actually an intriguing play? You know, that makes him a play that we can't just X off on the week. And maybe that's not this week playing with Shane Lowry, but he's kind of been disappointing lately as well. Tom Hoagie popping up in some strong recent form as well. He continues to produce some pretty good results. Patrick Cantlay has been playing better. Taylor Moore fell off in the weekend. Corey Connor's been a little bit of a disappointment there. Matt Fitzpatrick been trending in the right direction, but this is where it really kind of falls off. We can see that, guys. Like, it does get ugly kind of fast at recent form wise. Specialist data, I don't think we really need to get into this too much. Again, this is just pulling in the unique characteristics for that week's stats for the course. But I do think it is interesting to look at the type of event that we have. It's alternative type event. And so we have like match play that goes into this, Ryder Cup stuff. We get a little bit of this, but I do think that that's kind of an interesting stat to look at. So you got Rory in there, then Xander, then Cantlay, then Andrew Putnam. So that's interesting there. Taylor Moore, Garrett Higo, Gary Woodland. That's probably dated, but it's just something to look at. And this I might actually be using as a 50-50 decision-making. The alternative events where it's not a full tournament field event. It's not a no-cut event. It's kind of just a special event where there's just weird nuances to it. So I do think that that can be an interesting stat to look at. But with that, guys, let's go ahead and get into the 9-5 cheat sheet. We'll go over the top plays. So last year at this event, I ended up doing what I did the previous year, which was to bet Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele to have the first round lead and win. That was the only bet I recommended for outright purposes. And I might be there again this year. They ended up with the fourth place finish, obviously not winning. But if we're going to have a random team win like we did last year, I shouldn't exactly say that. Like Davis Riley and Nick Hardy winning were kind of like a lot of the winners we have had this year, where it's like you could have somewhat maybe ended up on them, like just randomly more so. But they're not plays that like stand out for say. I guess that was Davis Riley and Nick Hardy. But I do think we're going to see more so of those teams that you think are going to play well, but they might be a little bit different than maybe other people think across the space, across the industry. So let's get into that. Now, I will say I'm not going to be looking at anything like strokes gained vibes of teams. I'm just going to be looking at it from a data perspective. And so we are going to see Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele. Those are going to be the two best teams or two best players on the best team in this field. I mean, they just kind of are. You could say Tagala is the second best player currently, but really, or maybe Colin Morikawa based off his last two events, but that's who you'd be looking at. But really, I do think it's safe to just go with Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele and kind of figure out the rest of your builds from there. And so that's what we're going to do. I'm going to go with Xander just because I like him. But when you guys are doing the 9-5 lineup optimizer, again, it will just factor in one of the golfers only because that's all you can roster. From there, yes, Rory and Shane Lowry are popping up as good plays. They're both arguably the two best golfers stat fit-wise. Form-wise as well, it's not like Rory's been playing poorly. He's just been overpriced where he's just not paying off his price tag. And I would argue that could happen again. But these two players, their games probably do complement each other pretty well. And I would say Rory's playing in this event to win an event. To me, that just makes sense. There is some narrative that I saw or some news that he might be back on the PGA Tour advisory board. I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing, but maybe that just gets him a little bit more invested in playing good golf again. I don't know. There could be something there. There could not be. But for the most part, thus far this season, when you have wanted to count on Shane Lowry, he's been a disappointment. We haven't been able to count on Rory given his pricing just yet. I'm very interested to see what their ownerships are as a team. And man, I got to try to figure out how to do that this week. I didn't even think about that. But if they're not going to be like high owned or talked about a lot, I could see being on them more than the field or overweight on the field. But as it sits right now, I do see them as a little bit too risky. You guys are going to see they are the second best team though on paper. So I don't think we should be ignoring them. You could potentially go these two teams together and then just really try to figure out from there. But I do think Tagala and Willie Z are going to be two really strong options here. So Willie Z could not play in this event last year because he was injured. Played it really well in this event the year prior to that, though. Seventh place finish. You got Tagala, who missed the cut in his first start here, but then a 23rd place finish. He has been someone that's been trending in the right direction for a win as well. Given the price difference that we have between Rory and Shane Lowry, I think I'd just rather go with Tagala and Willie Z. Especially just across the board, they are looking like strong plays besides the course history for Tagala. But that one miss cut, I'm not too worried about. Now, you do want a better finish than a 23rd place finish as well. But across the board, these two golfers are looking very strong, and they're just going to be difficult to ignore. And I will say the next team here is a little bit surprising that I like. Kurt Kitayama and Colin Morikawa. Now, these two have never teamed up together for this event, but they have both played it. And so Colin Morikawa, I forget who he played with now. Was it Victor Hovland? I think it was Victor Hovland in the last couple of years. Anyways, it didn't work out. I remember them actually being kind of easy fades because they're like the highest priced team and just in a line as being like great plays. But Kurt Kitayama has played well here and they're both Las Vegas residents. I think that has something to do with them teaming up together. Just there's a little bit of fun there, but Kurt Kitayama has been playing pretty darn well, guys. Like we shouldn't be ignoring that. Four straight make cuts. Obviously, Colin Morikawa has been playing better as well. I think this is a team that could get passed up on a decent amount this week, and maybe they're a team that we could look at as well. I actually kind of like this team. I think they're going to be sneaky good. If they're not getting a lot of chatter, this would probably be my favorite leverage spot. But again, we don't know that yet. That's just kind of guessing at this point in the week. But I do think they're noteworthy. Now, are they probably a little bit overpriced? Yes. At the same time, they are a fun team, and I kind of want to buy into that. But this is where I'm just like, why be cute with it? Just play the team of Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele. It's kind of like a no-cut event strategy. Like lock in that top 10, knowing that there's going to be a low 6-for-6 lineups this week. And that's a big way you can gain some edge on the field. It's just by gaining those bonus points from a team like Cantlay and Xander Schauffele. From there, the two brothers are kind of interesting. Alex Fitzpatrick played pretty darn well last week at the Corrales, 23rd place finish, 17th place finish in his last start as well on the PGA Tour recorded. 19th place finish from this team last year. Matt Fitzpatrick's been playing all right, but this is strokes game team vibes, right? Two brothers playing together. I don't mind that, but I don't think we need to go crazy with it as well. Corey Connors, Taylor Pendrith, they're probably going to give us decent results here, but I just feel like they're a little bit overpriced. And then from there, we got Adam Hadwin, Nick Taylor. I'm kind of fine with going with the two Canadian guys. We know Nick Taylor, when he's in contention, he can kind of figure it out to get a win. Tom Hoge, Maverick McNealy. I don't want to go there with those guys, but let's kind of move on into the kind of some better options for us team-wise. Now, I will say, if you want to go with the two brothers, Hogard, you can as well, but I think where we start to get a little bit unique with who we want to be on this week is a little bit of Bryce Garnett and Seb Straka, which is funny because they're extremely priced up, and they're ranking up pretty darn well in the model, which is kind of crazy. I think that has to do with Seb Straka playing decently well recently. Bryce Garnett won on the PGA Tour recently, and he does somewhat thrive in these type of events. So I could see playing that team. I don't know. That just feels a little bit too high priced for them. And so let's move on into kind of more of the mid-tier teams, the teams you might not be going out of your way to target, but you might as well. And I will say Billy Horschel is extremely interesting. I'm kind of mad at him for winning last week, but he's a play that I think we can get to. If you guys are doing fair and balanced builds, Billy Horschel makes a ton of sense. Like he gets up for these type of events. Clearly 11th, 3rd, and 4th place finish. He's playing with Tyson Alexander, who probably does complement his game decently. He's not the best at fit for this event. He has played this event prior though, so I do think that's a little bit encouraging for me. Missed the cut though. He has a 14th place finish mixed in there. Hasn't been playing terrible golf, but we can see, yeah, Billy Horschel is a player that I just think he gets his teammates up for this. And so at that price tag, I do think he's certainly interesting, but you guys can see which team is popping up the most here. Joel Damon, Keith Mitchell. 9th best pick in the 9-to-5 mile team wise. And to me, that does make sense because Keith Mitchell has finished 6th, miscut 4th, Joel Damon 11th, 57th miscut. So not only do they have some very strong like course history in terms of starts and, you know, 2 out of 3 make cuts each, but Keith Mitchell has shown upside here and he is also going to be a good stat fit. Joel Damon, sure, he's been kind of bad recently, but at the same time, I think he's going to be good enough for a make cut, probably a cheap make cut for us. Really don't mind that. From there, Bo Hosler, Sam Ryder, they're definitely a fine team, but the team that's popping up the most and the team I'm probably going to be going out of my way to target the most given the pricing is going to be Chan Kim and Doug Gim. Doug Gim has played this course 3 straight years now, missed the cut last year, but 63rd, 11th place finish the year prior to that. And yeah, okay, I do remember this. So yeah, -6 on this team. I think I was on them a little bit in the opening round and then +1. So that is something to call, guys. Like your team should be shooting even par in the second round, but because they're playing best score in round one, it's typically going to be pretty low. I remember that was tilting. So really just need probably a better round from his partner, I would assume. I guess we shouldn't assume, but given the fact that he's paired with Chan Kim, who has been playing really well, 8 straight make cuts on the PGA Tour now, pretty decent staff at like 31st best staff in the field. Okay. And then 22nd in recent form, 21st best specialist. Like, Chan Kim has been playing pretty darn well with that sixth place finish last week. And then you got him paired up with Doug Gim, who has course experience here. That to me is pretty encouraging. That to me is actually kind of exciting. And so I do think that that's a team I want to be going out of my way to play. And so pricing wise, especially if we're playing up for Xander and Cantlay, I think we want to be getting to them next. Like, they're just the next logical option to me. And so I'll go Chan Kim. I feel pretty comfortable getting to those guys. Now we're going to see some other teams that are popping up in there as well as decent options, like Victor Perez and Daniel Berger. I'm kind of fine with those. Berger started off the week hot last week, tailed off. Victor Perez has been playing pretty well, had a battle to make the cut, but they're traveling. I don't know if that factors into it for you guys at all, but interesting to note. Andrew Novak, Davis Thompson made two straight cuts in a row. Or three straight cuts in a row, they're fine. I'm kind of mad at Putnam for pairing with Garrett Kiggo, but Garrett Kiggo has played well here. A seventh place finish at this event 2 years ago. Andrew Putnam's a golfer that's going to play strong golf. Oh, it's just, wait, these two aren't paired up together. All right. And this is where you guys should probably just be sorting by the model, just as an FYI, because when we get down to those similar prices, that's what's going to happen, just as an FYI. Yeah, so Andrew Putnam's with Joe Highsmith, which also doesn't get me excited. So that's a little bit unfortunate there. I don't love that. Garrett Kiggo is going to be paired up with Ryan Fox, which I don't really like that either. Then you got Austin Eckroat, who has been playing extremely well. I was hoping that he was going to be paired up with someone we could feel comfortable with. I know a lot of people in the fantasy golf space like Chris Goddard. He hasn't shown enough for me to really trust him as an option, so we're not going there. Gary Woodland and Lee Hodges were not playing, but we are seeing CT Pan and Kevin Yu are popping up in there. And my goodness, I really don't know what to think of this, because this could be the Doug Gim situation from last year, where I do expect them to score low in round one, because Kevin Yu, as you guys can see stat wise, can set himself up for a bunch of opportunities, and he's probably going to make a few. And then you got CT Pan, who's kind of just a casually decent golfer across the board, not going to go too crazy with it. So I really wonder what their approach is going to be like in round two, because they don't want Kevin Yu putting. They're going to set it up so he can hopefully make the least amount of putts possible. I do think they have some potential winning upside. Like, if Kevin Yu can get hot or at least be decent with the putter, I really don't mind it. And so I think this team is actually very sneaky at a cheap price tag. I could see them winning it, because again, Kevin Yu is just someone that always pops up staff fit wise, but you can never trust him because of his putter. So makes him harder to trust there. And now we're getting into some pretty interesting value teams here. A lot of interesting value teams here. So we got Henrik Norlander and Luke List that are popping up as decent teams. Both players that I have course history here. They played together last year, I believe, and they're just good enough plays across the board. I think the reason why the data likes them is because they have that course experience, but a very cheap price tag for them. But you can get a slightly better team in Matthew Naismith and Taylor Moore. Fourth and seventh place finishes for those two. Taylor Moore's obviously been playing great golf really up until last week. I think it was just that final round. Prior to that, 22nd, 12th, you know, bunch of make cuts in a row. Matthew Naismith, kind of felt bad for him that he didn't get a play in the RBC Heritage. Honestly, that might be a little bit of motivation for him that he didn't get an invite. He got engaged to his wife, if you guys are wondering what I mean by that, at that course on 18. I'm pretty sure. If I remember that story off the top of my head, like, I'm pretty sure. But anyways, they have obviously played this event extremely well. I do like the fact that he did finally play well. He's someone that typically isn't this bad. So I think this is the next team that I feel good enough going out of my way to target. I do really love the price, and I really thought that this team would be much higher priced than they currently are. So definitely fine going out of my way to target this team. And so with that, they're going to be the next team that I put into the sample build. And so you guys can already see, we're going to have some salary left over, it seems like, because there's going to be some mispricing on some teams that we feel pretty good about. And so this video is getting kind of long. My apologies there, but this is what it is. So KH Lee and Michael Kim, they're certainly an interesting team as well. Data likes KH Lee, who's been relatively decent. Like, you would want a better result out of him at the Corrales. Kind of okay with that. But 3 out of 4 make cuts in a row now. And then Michael Kim's been good enough as well. 3 out of 4 make cuts for him as well. They're two players that really don't play well on difficult tracks. This isn't exactly a difficult track. And so I could see them producing some good results. I think they're a little bit too risky. I don't feel the need to go out of my way to put an emphasis on getting them into my builds. I kind of would let the lineup builder naturally do that. And then I do think it would be a mistake to ignore the winning team from last year, because they have played well at this event. At the same time, I would say they're correctly priced. Now, one of the biggest letdowns from last year was Justin Lauer and Dylan Wu as a team. This year, I hope they're not going to be a letdown as well, because I'm going to be targeting them pretty heavily at their prices. So they're coming in as the 18th best team this week. That's pretty much because Justin Lauer has been playing pretty darn well, and Dylan Wu has made 4 straight cuts, and they also have finished top 20 at this event. And if we look at it with them as well, like, they didn't play terribly, -8, just didn't do anything that second day. -8 in the opening day, nothing in the second round. Okay. So they missed the cut by 2, I believe it was. So not crazy. They play decently. And honestly, getting just those points, I do think will be key. And so again, just at their prices, they kind of feel like the team that I want to end up on. They kind of seem like a sneaky good team to potentially bet outright. Like maybe they just get a little bit hot. Casually look like a pretty good team on paper. Now we jump into the value tier. I'm kind of mad at Mark Hubbard for going with Ryan Brehm, honestly, because Brehm has been playing terribly. Mark Hubbard, if he was paired up with someone like Andrew Putnam, like two players that just hit the correct golf shot consistently, I would have been so excited to target those two. We don't have that, can't do that, so I'm probably going to be avoiding this team, but they're fine. They're more of a shoulder-shrug team. A sneaky good team, if Justin Suh was playing better, would be him and Ricky Hoye. I don't know if that's how you, or Rico Hoye. I don't know if that's how you say his name, but Rico and Justin Suh are going to be two decent options. Suh at least has course experience here, 23rd and 11th place finish. Rico has been playing pretty well on the PGA Tour lately, so a team you could look at, but a team you probably don't need to go crazy with. We got Peter Malnally and Russell Knox, two teams that, again, have course experience, but we're not going to go crazy with that. And I don't want to go crazy with these two either, but I do think they're kind of worth a look. Robert Streb and Troy Merritt, again, going to be two golfers that consistently just somewhat hit the correct shot. They finished 13th at this event last year. They're going to get some random stuff here, but they do have that course experience. And I'm fine absorbing some risk by targeting some players that have some course experience. Now, they haven't been playing extremely well. We know that. Troy Merritt opened the Corrales up, I think, with the lead for most of day one. And then just Troy Merritt his way to not the best week, unfortunately. Not the best course for him as well. A little bit of a better track for him. But these are two value plays that wouldn't be surprising to see make the cut. I'm fine with them. And so then we have some teams that we don't have enough data on, to formally give a proper ranking. I don't mind these two together, and it's because of Adrian, just as an FYI. I don't mind those two. I think these two can pop. I'm kind of fine with this team. Both had good weeks last week. I actually really don't mind Jimmy Stanger. He's been a casually good staff at this whole year. And so again, just as an FYI, that's going to be why some of these plays aren't popping up as much as you would think they would be. So Sean O'Hare, I do think it's we can't ignore that course experience. We really can't. And he's someone that also is just going to hit the correct golf shot week in and week out. So I don't think we should ignore that as well. But once you dip down that low, into that value tier, it's just you're trying to guess to get lucky. So with that, guys, let's go ahead and give you guys a first look build, and I'll show you guys it on the lineup optimizer as well. And so we already have a pretty good start here. And you know what? I was looking at, never mind. I was going to say, I don't mind Hayden Springer and his team with Tom Whitney. Casually team, I think could make the cut. They've just been playing good enough. You got the Cody twins as well. Some people are going to be targeting them probably. Yeah, you got Stanger here. I'm kind of okay with those two. And you know what, guys? I might just go with some blind trust here in Troy Merritt and Robert Streb. So that way we can pay up for another good team. And Keith Mitchell and Joel Damon, I'm kind of okay with that. I'm kind of okay with scheduling a miscut, which an event where 6 for 6 is going to be pretty rare. I'm kind of okay doing that. That's something I've done in the past in situations like this, where if you're trying to make a profitable build, I really don't mind scheduling a miscut and then just going with the other plays that stand out. Now we'll go in and see if the data is green with the first look build, and we'll jump into the lineup 9 to 5 lineup optimizer. And so again, just as an FYI, guys, this is going to be defaulted to the first player in the salaries who's going to have the fantasy point projection, because you can only have one player per team, just as an FYI. So I'm just going to generate this, no sort of settings to it, and I have to adjust two projections to get it to run, so whatever. And so here we go, generate it, and we're just going to see kind of what is spinning out as the best lineups. And really no shock, it likes Billy Horschel, Keith Mitchell, Doug Ginn, Berger. So it is trying to go more of a fair and balanced approach, which I don't know if that's going to be what we should be doing. So for me, here's what we're going to do. We're going to bump up this projection for Patrick Cantlay to 120, telling the data I really want to get him in there. And we'll just do 3 unique players, 35% max exposure for 20 builds. We'll just see if that gets us to more Patrick Cantlay, because I do want to put an emphasis on that. And so we got closer to 30%. So it is really trying to do a fair and balanced approach. So what I'm going to do, and this is just for example purposes, giving you guys a first look build, seeing if the data kind of agrees with it. And still, for the most part, giving us the same lineups, but now it's giving us a little bit more of Patrick Cantlay since I bumped up those projections a little bit. But this would technically be the best build on paper. That's going to be all. I know this video was a little bit longer than it typically is. I don't know. I have fun breaking down these events. Hopefully you guys did as well. I didn't get into any of the team narratives and whatnot. Did they play together? Do they live together? Or in the same state together. Like, why are they playing? I don't know if that really matters. That's kind of nuanced stuff. Fun to look at. More fluff related, I would say. Can be fun to look at, though. So if you guys have any narratives that you're buying into, let me know in the comment section below. I do think that's fun. That's going to be all for today's video. Thanks for watching. And as always, let's keep cashing.